Father, I thank you today in the name of Jesus for just giving us this opportunity today, for bringing us back. Thank you for so many people coming, Lord, just to be here this first day back with Sunday school. And I pray your blessings upon it, Father. Thank you for the peace that we've had this weekend, just the rest in your presence that, Lord, just hasn't been stressful. It just hasn't been strife. It's just been really good. And coming to pray and be with you, Father, and seeking you to pour out your Spirit, God, upon us. And Lord, we continue with that desire just to be with you, to love the body of Christ, to believe for souls, Father, to come into the kingdom. And I just thank you, Lord, that that is your heart and you put that in us. Bless this time, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start in Acts chapter 4 because this is what the Lord has really instilled in my heart as we were facing Pentecost and coming out of Pentecost. And I really appreciate when Nick came and he was just sharing with me that he'd like to talk about the Holy Spirit. I just knew, man, he's heard from the Lord, because this is what's in our heart to talk about, especially this year. It has been in my heart to talk about a lot about the Holy Spirit and his anointing upon our life. So in Acts 4, you have a situation where the church is being persecuted, and there was a healing, and there was 5,000 men saved. And so they arrest Peter and John. They beat them. They threaten them. You can't speak in the name of Jesus. And so they let them go. And when they let them go, they go back to church. And there's a church prayer meeting. And so he tells us in verse 23, we're going to pick up there, and being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You have made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, far to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. I want to pause here. Just listen to me for a second before you continue to read. If you will follow the prayer life of great men and women in the Bible, you will find that they oftentimes take the words of God back to God. And so that's what this prayer primarily is. They're quoting scriptures. They're quoting the Psalms. And they're taking these things back to God as far as, God, you have determined all of this. You know all of this is going on. You know that the heathens are going to rage. The kings are going to imagine vain things. And they're bringing it back to God in prayer. But they know, they just know that the kingdoms of the world are not to have authority over Jesus. They know that. And they just saw how the Holy Spirit can overwhelm the powers of this world, because that happened by the healing of the crippled man and by 5,000 men getting saved. And so that's the people coming into Christ. And so this is all your hand. We know it. We're speaking this back to you as if God doesn't know this, right? And a lot, I just say that because I think a lot of times in our prayers, we don't say things to God because we just like, well, God knows that. And I think because we don't do that, we're not speaking his word back to him. I think it's so important to speak the word of God back to God. He's given us promises. And I believe we have to speak those promises. There's confession and agreement. And so we have to do that. And a lot of our prayers are cut short because we just, well, God knows that. God's going to do what he wants to do. You know, why do we have to even belabor that? But they do that. And they did it in the Old Testament. And it says, and now, Lord, because this is the time it's happening, behold their threats, their threatenings, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now this is what they ask, by stretching forth your hand. The word of God was not intended to be spoken apart from supernatural works of God. Even in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus came to a point where he said to the people, if you don't believe me, then believe me because of the works that I'm doing. His works testified to the message that he preached. And the Apostle Paul said this about the gospel, about what is the full gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, he said he's not ashamed of the gospel in Romans 1. It's the power of God to save. And then in Romans 15, he said, I did not shun to declare to you the full gospel. It was the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. And that is how the Holy Spirit desires to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is an accompaniment of power along with the message of Jesus Christ. And I just believe that the church has abandoned not this desire for the miracles of God. And I'm not saying none of us would say, oh, we don't care for miracles. But if we were to really assess our prayer life, how often do we really pray for miracles? And I'm not saying praying for the sick. Because we probably pray for the sick a lot. They're probably on your prayer list. But I'm asking, go to God and say, God, work miracles. Do miracles now. We need you to do this. If the gospel is going to have the attention you want it to have in the world, you've got to join us and you have to do strong things. They did that in Mark 16. They went out and preached and the Lord worked with them signs and wonders. Well, we have to expect this. We have to pray for this. And so that's what they're doing. They want to speak the word of God with boldness. How? By you stretching forth your hand. We're going to speak, but we need you to do something. And we need you to stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And so that was their prayer. It's not for us. It's not for a TV deal. It's not for a book deal. It's for Jesus. We want people to know Jesus. Now, they just experienced this. How do you get the attention of the community? Well, the Holy Ghost healed a crippled man in the name of Jesus. And a crowd gathered. And when the crowd gathered, Peter preached the word. That's how Peter understood, this is how this works. And so when they prayed that, God answered it. And he shook the house and they came. And so I just want you to see it. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. That's why we can't have divisions. And gossip and strife and debates and arguments. And look, that has plundered the church forever. We can't have that. There's no place for that in the church of God. If we do it, we're hindering the Holy Ghost. Why would we ever do that? But we do it. And when we do it, we have to repent. And so they were of one accord, one heart, one mind. And so, verse 32, and neither of them had aught of the things that he possessed was his own. They had all things in common. And then in verse 33, and with great power, and this is the focus, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And so I shared this with you last Sunday in the message, but I want to bring this to your attention, and I'm going to do it often. I really believe that verse 33 captures the heart and the intent of the Holy Spirit's presence and his desire. And his desire is to do two things to two bodies, one thing to each body. To the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was crucified, buried, and risen, the Holy Spirit has come to give irrefutable evidence that Jesus Christ is alive. And the means by which the Holy Spirit does that is by giving the apostles great power, a great demonstration of power that Jesus Christ is alive. I wrote this comment down, and I'll say it to you. When the Holy Spirit wanted to give irrefutable evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he did not take the world to the empty tomb. Instead, he took the world to a supernatural church and said, there's the evidence that Jesus lives. And I believe he still wants to do that today. And the second body that the Holy Spirit wanted to affect by his coming was the church, the body of Christ, by pouring out upon everyone great grace. And it is the effort of the devil to do two things. Remove grace and remove power. They work together. They both are the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so once grace is removed, then we're at each other's throats. We've got our feelings hurt. I've got an offense. I'm mad about this. I'm mad about that. What we see happening in our world today, I believe, is an effort of the enemy to cause the church to enter into a carnal area of warfare where grace is now removed and we begin to maybe take sides or something. We take the way of Christ. We take the way of Jesus, where the power of the Holy Spirit can rest upon His church and demonstrate Jesus lives. He lives, not because I say He lives, but because the Holy Spirit is doing things that only Jesus Christ can do. And that has to happen through every one of us, every one of us. And so I had this thought that if you had, I've been around people who love to work out. I hate to work out. I love to play, but I hate to work out. But I've been around people who work out. And, I mean, it is the joy of their life. They love to exercise, lift weights, everything. And if both bodies are healthy, then both bodies are sitting in a resting position. And I might watch a man go and, you know, bench press a certain amount of weight. You know, maybe bench press 320 pounds. And he just popping it, you know. And it's like, oh, I feel like I could do that. And I go lay on the bench to bench press 320, and I've got about two guys standing on each side of me to spot me because they know I can't do it, but I feel like I can. I want you to understand that I can't do it. The man that can do it, before he sits there and before he takes that weight, he's sitting in a chair, let's say, or he's sitting on the bench. He doesn't feel strength. He doesn't feel power surging through his body. But he lays down on that bench, and it is not until he takes that weight and begins to exert a force against it does he begin to understand the amount of power that is in him. He didn't feel it sitting there. Strength and power was not a sensation. It was not a feeling. It was resting in him, and it was not until he exerted his strength against an opposing force that he realized how much power he had. And it was not until I would try to exert my strength against that opposing force to determine whether I could or could not do something. I may feel like I can, but the feeling that I can does not prove that I can. And you and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, baptized in the Holy Spirit, believing in the power of God, have the power of God in us. And while you're sitting there, you may not understand the sense of power or the strength that you really do have. But go up to the gates of hell and pull on the gate, and you will see how strong you are. Because it will give way to you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And a lot of Christians, we sit around and we do nothing. And so this power came. Well, how do you know there was great power on the apostles? It wasn't because they sat in that house and they said they felt it. They went out and they did things in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have to go out and we have to do things in the name of Jesus. Because the irrefutable proof that the Holy Spirit gives of the resurrection of Jesus is a supernatural church. And so we have to live supernatural lives. It is what we're called to do, and it's what we're called to be. And so I wanted to say this. I wanted to bring this to your attention. We're going to do a Bible drill, okay? So turn very quickly in your Bibles. Luke 13, and we're going to go to the Old Testament too. But Luke 13, verse 6, it says, He spoke a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit on it, but he didn't find any. And he said to the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, for 3 years I come looking for fruit on this tree, and I don't find any. Cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? And he answering said to him, Lord, leave it alone this year too. Shall I dig about it, and I'll dung it? And if it bears fruit, well, and if not, then after that, cut it down. So here's a man telling his master, don't do it right now. wait another year. I'm going to work it. And then you come back, and if it's still not satisfactory to you, do what you got to do. All right? I want you to get that. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Verse 19, the Bible says this. Moses is speaking to Israel and to Aaron. I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened, the Lord listened to me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with you, Aaron. He would have destroyed you, but I prayed for you too. My prayers turned the anger of God from you, Aaron. He was coming to kill you. God was. I stopped him. Wow. Now that's power. That is power. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 10, it says this, and I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days, 40 nights, and the Lord listened to me at that time also. And the Lord would not destroy you. Why wouldn't he destroy you? Because he listened to me. Is there an ability for us to do that for our nation? Is there not greater power in us than there was in Moses? As a matter of fact, Jesus, I mean, I know we put Moses on this pedestal where he's like a demigod, but I mean, he's just a man like us. And Jesus said of all of the prophets, John the Baptist is the greatest. And the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. God lives in you. And if John was greater than Moses and you're greater than John in this dispensation, then why can't you go to God and God listen to you? Where's the power of your life? Where's the power of your faith? The power of belief? Where the Lord comes and says, I'm going to do this in the nation. Say, no, Lord. No, don't do that this year. Give us a little bit more time. Let the church come out. Let the church work this and then come back and look at it, God. If you've got to do it then do it. Where's that power? Where's that relationship, that faith? I think we live such plastic lives with God. We really do. We say the kind of prayers we think he wants to hear. We don't bring his promises back to him and speak his word back to him and remind God of things that he said, promises that he's given us. Where in the Bible, these people that didn't have all this formality of religion, they're just real with God. Wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. You said this. And this is what I'm holding you to. It's not disrespectful. God said it. He wants you to bring it back to him. He wants you to stand up on his promise. Jeremiah 15. The Bible tells us in verse 1, and the Lord said to me, though Moses, Samuel stood before me, my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And I just simply bring that to you to show you the kind of relationship that Moses and Samuel had with God. God is acknowledging these men influenced me. These men possessed a power with me that was so strong. And God brings them up, but he says, even if these two guys stood before me, they're not changing my mind. They've changed my mind a lot, but they would not change my mind in this matter. And that's the respect that God showed towards them. In Exodus 32, verse 10, he says, I am not worthy of the least of all your mercies and of all the truth which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I've become two bands. Deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And you said, I will surely do you good. He's bringing it back to God. You said it. And make your seed as the seed of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau's brother, and 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, 10 foals, and he delivered them. And this is Jacob, and you know that Jacob goes into the presence of God that night, and he wrestles with God, and God says, leave me alone, let me go. The day is about to break. And he said, I will not. I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not. Where's that faith today? I'm just saying, I believe it's here. I believe that faith is here. I believe it's in the Holy Spirit. These men are like us. The power that they had with God was the power of God's Spirit that was in their life. The Spirit of God exercised power through them in order to prevail with God for the will of God that was to be done in the earth. He prevailed with them. The Spirit of God gave power in Moses to be able to gain things in God that were really in the heart of God to do. God wanted mercy. He did not want judgment. He tells us that. And Moses goes before God with the Spirit of God for that mercy, and God hearkens to it. It wasn't that God was going against his will or his nature, but God was wanting to give mercy. And a man stood there and asked for it, and God gave it to him. He gave it to him. I remember some of the greatest battles of my life. I can remember, it was back, I think, around 2014. I woke up one morning about, I don't know, very early in the morning, in the 3s or 4 a.m.s of the morning, I woke up and I was praying. And I was in the middle of a prayer and I was weeping and I was sobbing and I couldn't put words to what I was praying. But all of a sudden there was a joy that surged in me and I just confessed, I have won. I won. And I heard the devil speak to me. You have not won. How can you say you've won? And I answered him and I said, because the Holy Spirit prays for me. I won. When he began to pray through me, for me, it's over. And I walked in that. I walked in that peace. I walked in that assurance. I knew God likes me. He loves me. He's for me. He's defending me. He's protecting me. He's watching over me. All of these things that God does. And so I'm kind of bringing this out to you. And for the sake of time, because I have to finish, I would say this. I think there are two kinds of believers today. And there's the believer who just kind of goes about life and they just take it for what it brings. God is sovereign. He's going to do what he wants to do. There's nothing you and I can do about it. And so we're just going to walk through life, and whatever comes, God will give us grace in the moment, and he will help us, and he will strengthen us, and we're going to make it, because we're just going to hold to God and have faith and trust him to the end. And then there are the few others. And I don't think there's many of this kind who says, no, I believe I can influence him. God told me I was going to die. He sent a prophet into my room and he told me I was going to die. And Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he speaks to God and he says, no. And God stops Isaiah in his tracks. Go back to Hezekiah, tell him I heard him, and I'm going to give him 15 more years. And Isaiah says, God has given you 15 more years, Hezekiah. He's heard your prayer. And he said, this is the sign. The sundial is going to go down 10 degrees. Just going to go down just like that, 10 degrees. Hezekiah said, whoa, wait a minute. That's easy. Let it go backwards 10 degrees. Stop the earth, stop its rotation, and let it go backwards 10 degrees. Let God do that. And Isaiah said, God heard you, Hezekiah. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Joshua goes and stands in the midst of a battle in a valley in front of everybody, and he looks at the sun, and he says, stop. And the sun stopped an entire day. And the Bible says there was no day like it. It says this, where God listened to the voice of a man. The voice of a man. I think it's much more exciting to live this life knowing God in intimacy and knowing God's desires and knowing God's heart and knowing what he wants, so that you can be the kind of person that comes and fills up the gap and says, no, God, I know what you want. I'm going to take you, Moses, and I'm going to make a nation of you. Wow. Okay. That sounds good, God. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to be famous. This is going to be Moses' nation. But Moses said, oh, no, Lord. Oh, no, you can't do that. If you did that, what would the world, what would the nation say about you? That you couldn't keep your people? You had to destroy them? No, Lord. No. Now, Moses wasn't teaching God anything. God knew that. We understand that. But here's a man who knew what was vital to God. But how many of us would have said, okay, that's what you got to do. You want to make me a nation, make me a nation. All right. How many people are waiting on us to stand in the gap on their behalf, our nation, our city, our world, in the power of the Holy Spirit and say, God, behold the threats today. Look at the demonic powers that are working in our world and give us the boldness to preach your word and do something with us, God, in miracles, power, and wonders so that nobody can deny the resurrection. They may not like it, but don't let them be able to deny it. And give us great grace. Let the church stop attacking itself and let it help one another. Do everything it can in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the life we have to live. Jesus is coming soon. We don't have a lot of time. And it's time to put away all of the babyishness, all of the foolishness, all the little flaky snowflake things that break our feelings and hurt us. And oh my gosh, you know. Look, come on, y'all. Let's put it away. Let's rise up as soldiers. And let's walk together. And fight this fight and run this race because the finish line, you can smell it. You can smell it. It's there. Let's do it. And let's help each other. If you stumble, I'll pick you up. If I stumble, pick me up. But let's do it. Let's enjoy this. Let's have fun before Jesus comes. Because it's wonderful to walk with God. Not easy, but it's wonderful. And fun does not always mean easy. I had fun playing a lot of sports, and sometimes it was very strenuous, but it was fun at the end when we won. We're holding the trophies. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for your blessings in giving us the gospel, giving us the Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, with all of my heart that you will move in the earth to give irrefutable proof of the resurrection of Jesus. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that there might be great power, miracles, signs, and wonders. And don't let us sit around waiting for some feeling of power. Let us go pray for the sick. Let us go love an enemy and see the kind of power that comes out of us. And Lord, let us have great grace upon our lives and towards one another. In Jesus' name, amen.